Hey, welcome to the 38th Parallel. I am the Hobbitarian, and that is Alan Mosley, host of It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. The pre-show was kind of lit.
Yeah, what were we talking about in the pre-show? Do you know?
I don't know. I wasn't really listening to you. I was just looking at the clock, figuring out why we're closer this week. Only 9 minutes late. That's really good.
I know. I'm like a mix between black people and Filipino time. Almost. Yeah. I mean, if we were going to black people, Filipino people time, we wouldn't have started until about midnight.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that Filipinos had that problem.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you people apart. So I just assumed you would have started an hour and a half early.
That is true. Well, how is it over in the South? How cordial are they? Or how astute are they when it comes to time?
Oh, I mean, it's as it pertains to like work, then it would be if you're not early, you're late. That would be the norm. Now, you know, as it pertains to leisure, it would just, you would say, you know, we're having dinner. Come on over. And what that means is basically you just come over whenever. It doesn't matter.
All right.
You just show up. Now keep in mind, of course, you know, if you show up at like 9 o'clock, then the door's just going to be locked and no one's going to answer it. But yeah.
Right. Or someone's going to have a gun to your face. I thought I said 8 o'clock. Why are you here at 9? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
No, I was going to say, I went to go eat dinner tonight at Poncho's, my favorite Mexican restaurant. Ooh. And when I was getting ready to head in there, I thought, well, they've got a bunch of TVs. Maybe they'll have some college basketball up. And I was sitting at a table that was the only table that had visual access to none of the TVs that had college basketball on, with the exception of one. And that one was Florida State and Alabama women's college basketball.
I
said something to the waiter. I was like, could y'all like put actual basketball
actual
on,
sports and
not,
on the,
not like this you know, hobby club thing that's on. And they said that the table nearest to that TV wanted it on there because they were wanting to watch that. It was a bunch of women. They wanted to watch that game. And I was like, so first of all, they don't. They're just signaling. None of them actually watch basketball. And second of all, go ahead. I'll give you one guess. This is not a joke. How many missed layups did I witness during the time it took me to eat dinner, which was about half an hour?
And you counted them all, like you listed them on a piece of paper or something.
I kept mental note of every layup I saw missed. Yep, I sure as hell did.
Okay.
So, and I'm not talking about contested shot like a block. I'm talking open under the rim, ball goes off the glass, back down the court.
And it took about a half hour for your meal to get to you.
Yes. Now, these are Division I college teams playing in the NCAA tournament, mind you.
So they should be good.
You would
theoretically
think. Yeah. Alabama and Florida State aren't exactly small schools.
No. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say 49.
They didn't even take 49 shots while I was having dinner. What's wrong with you? So the answer was 7. There were seven missed open layups under the rim,
sexist,
uncontested during the time it took me. Oh yeah, I'm sexist because I'm sexist. They didn't miss layups because I'm sexist. I'm sexist because they missed layups.
Well,
it's
also
an important distinction.
But you asked me how many, and I guess 49, and you said they didn't even take 49. What are you, crazy?
Well, you're Asian. You don't even watch basketball either. Jesus.
You know what's fun? There was this I can't remember what college he's at now, but he is Japanese. And apparently he's like this big, like, oh my gosh, this Japanese guy is like just killing it in college basketball right now. I don't remember what team it was, but they're like, holy crap, this guy's amazing. And I'm like, is this like the next Linsanity? He's gonna be good for
two games. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, he's gonna suck. No one cares. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be like on the bench and get some tattoos, whatever Jeremy Lin's doing now.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that was some good banter. Some pretty good banter.
What? I feel like you're giving like production notes live during the show. I feel like that was a comment that could have waited until after the show.
Oh. Well, you know, I like you're to keep it light.
Turning into Dave. Jesus.
I like to keep it light. Because we're going to be talking about some heavy, heavy topics. Nebraska. Thanks, Libertarian Podcast Review. Thank you. Nebraska. A Japanese guy playing for Nebraska.
That's weird.
I'm surprised they even let him in there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the big news that this is a good segue. The big news that's happened over the course of the past 24 hours or so as of this live stream recording is Candace Owens and the Daily Wire officially split. They're no longer kissing and, you know, sucking and fucking and whatever you want to call it. What
is wrong with you? Jesus. I'm sorry, you guys. This is his first day. He's never hosted a podcast before. Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're talking about
it was a nice honeymoon when Candace Owens was part of the Daily Wire, and now it's a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
So
one that I think we all saw coming because
there was plenty of people on Twitter who were saying, I saw it's coming like 3-6 months before it even happened. And I tweeted out there, but I saw it happen the second that she was hired. I knew that she was going to be fired. I knew it. Knew it. Cause I'm awesome and you're not. So,
All right. While you continue to set up the segment, I'm going to go scroll your Twitter. And if I don't see that commentary, I'm going to call you a liar. So, all right. So you keep going.
All right. So, there was an article in the New York Post, Candace Owens out at Daily Wire after a host endorsed anti-Semitic trope about rabbis drinking Christian blood. I don't know what that means. I get literally drinking Christian blood. I mean, Jesus died. Didn't the Jews kill him? Right. That's the history of it, I think. Right. So, yeah, Jeremy Boring, who's over at the Daily Wire, who also did the hilarious Lady Ballers movie. If you guys haven't seen that, Nico and I did a video reviewing that movie. And, man, was it a laugh fest. 2 seconds, it's like you're laughing right off the bat. And then it's nonstop hilarity to the point where your head's off. Like, your head's literally off onto the floor because you're laughing so hard. So, thanks, Jeremy Boring, and everyone at the Daily Wire, for Lady Ballers. But he tweeted that Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. And so free speech is dead. Your thoughts?
I'll be damned. That's exactly what you said 9 hours ago. All right. You're off the hook on this one. All right. Well, okay. So, I mean, the thing is that like, as soon as they expressed to her, obviously that they weren't happy with kind of the tone the she was ticking. Setting. Well, she doubled down, right? Like, she didn't respond. I mean, kudos to her for having integrity, right? That so in twofold, not only did she choose to cover the topic with the tone that she was covering it, but then when she was challenged, she did double down on it, as opposed to, you know, kind of meekly backing off and saying, oh, well, right, I guess I'm just not educated on the subject. You know, I'm going to defer to, you know, my Jewish coworkers here. No, she didn't do that. She did the opposite. So good for her for doing that. And I know that if you're one of these perpetually online types who's just kind of like checking the temperature of the waters, you would think that, well, a lot of people are supporting her in this. Like, they see her as the aggrieved party, and they see the Daily Wire as bad, and a bunch of people saying, oh, well, I'm not going to support the Daily Wire anymore. Oh, they're, you know, apparently sometimes feelings do matter, huh, Ben? Unsubscribed, you know, they're turning left and woke and whatever. But, you know, the thing is that, for one, the Daily Wire has always been total shit, and they've always just been neocons, and neocons are leftists. You know, maybe they're not progressives, but they're leftists all the same. And so they've always been that way. So for all these people who, like, it took Candace Owens being martyred, you know, digitally, for them to wake up to the concept that the Daily Wire is not exactly a healthy outfit. Like, I mean, I guess, I guess that's a good thing. For some reason, I kept on thinking about Jordan Peterson. Like, remember all the stuff with, so they brought Jordan Peterson into the fold after mm-hmm. he got off of the painkillers or whatever the hell he was addicted to.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a big, you know, he was somebody who kind of wore his theism on a sleeve and did all these biblical lectures and talked about God and from a Christian perspective. And then he, you know, gets off the dope. And what does he do? He goes to work for the Daily Wire, and immediately he's having dinner with Netanyahu and Shapiro, and he's talking about God's chosen people. And it's like, I mean,
yeah, he converted to Judaism.
Well, did he actually? I don't think he did.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a joke though. Like, if he did convert, it would make more sense that he was acting that way. If he didn't convert, then it's like those people despise you. They think that your beliefs are heresy. Like, call it what it is. They think your beliefs are heresy. They think Candace Owens is a heretic. They think you're a heretic. They think all of you guys are heretics. They think you guys are beneath them and you're all going to burn in hell. That's what they think that. So, you know, there is none of this, you know, we're going to, you know, live and let live and, you know, choose to platform different ideas and the marketplace of ideas, which is total bullshit and has always been total bullshit. So, I mean, I'm glad that people are coming around to some of those concepts, but it's just weird that, you know, that Candace Owens of all people was the one to kind of like to circle the wagons on this thing, which obviously she's going to be fine because she's just going to use this whole drama as a launch board for whatever it is she does next. She's already got her own stuff and her own subscriptions and supporters and all that. So it's not like, I actually looked her up on Twitter because I was like, I know who Candace Owens is, but you know how it's like there's celebrities, right? There's public figures, but some, you know, obviously different public figures have different levels of celebrity and platform and all that. So it's like, you know, like the president of the United States is going to have, you know, tens of millions of followers, say, on Twitter. And some random celebrity will have like, you know, hundreds of thousands to low single digit millions. And then like a mega celebrity like Taylor fucking Swift will have like 100 million followers. You know, the reason I bring that up is that there's a matter of perspective. So when I clicked on Candace Owens, I thought, oh, Candace Owens, I bet she's got 400,000 followers on Twitter. Because who is she, right? She's nobody. Who gives a fuck about Candace Owens? She's just a token black for the right wing. Come on, guys. Like, you know, this is a safe space here. We can talk the way we want. She's a token black for the right wing. No, she doesn't. She's got 2 million followers on fucking Twitter. Candace Owens, who's never done anything.
Yeah.
Like, what is she? She's a pundit. You know what pundits are? People who've never done anything. They talk. Like, what has Candace Owens done other than being a talking head right now without looking anything up? What has Candace Owens done?
I mean, the only thing that I can think of is people bringing up her past about some doxing website or whatever it was. But that was like in the past. But in terms of like what she's doing now, she's probably going to be more.
No, like her accomplishments. What's going in her eulogy? What are her accomplishments? What has she done other than she's a person who talks on the internet? What has she done? And by the way, I don't mean to be super hard on her because it's Ben Shapiro and all them that I wish would get gassed. I'm talking, but I'm just being, you know, all's fair in love and war. What has Candace Owens done other than be a black woman who's right wing? Other than be that, what has she done? Not who she is. What's she done?
She's this is like trying to figure out like the characters in The Phantom Menace. Well, who's Qui-Gon Jinn? It's like, I mean, play the Liam Neeson, I guess. I don't know. Or,
well, I mean, but this is an important question though. And I've started to pose this question more and more to people like in my own social circle when they talk about some drama going on or this person did this or said that. As I'll say, okay, well, that person you're talking about, what has that person done? Not who that person is, What have they done? I don't care at all about their identity. What have they done?
She had like the grasshopper, you know, the crickets.
I mean, the fact that that's like, there's so much silence on the air right now is deafening. Yeah. I'm a retard,
like, so maybe I don't know the right answer. Maybe there's someone out there. Well, Candace Owens is this, and she's done that. I don't know.
These people haven't done anything. You know, it's like.
Well, there is one thing that that she's done, apparently, according to a Libertarian Podcast review. She liked a tweet from someone asking Rabbi Smooley if he was drunk from Christian blood. Oh, I see. So she did like a tweet.
That guy, by the way, he's like, I know you're going to be super surprised to hear this, but this rabbi is like some kind of sexual deviant who's like in business for like sex, you know, sex toys and stuff with his daughter or whatever. Those people are fucked up.
It's like the Greeks inventing anal, right?
It just like, I mean, the thing is, it's like whatever random thing you could make up to talk about how messed up those people are, it's not made up. You could literally, and you know, God bless him because he won't, but God bless him. It is the fact that they celebrate the things that we see as fucked up. Like I saw on Twitter today, there was a new montage going around of Israel drone murdering a bunch of random unarmed civilians. Like it's just a series of clips of, oh, check out these unarmed civilians, drone bomb. Check out these, drone bomb.
Yeah, but like, maybe they were, maybe they were doing some bad things. I don't know. You have no
idea. But what's crazy about it is that the stuff that they release on purpose and celebrate would put the stuff that Julian Assange got out there to shame. Like Julian Assange is being prosecuted by the entire West, basically, but definitely the U.S. government for leaking, amongst other things, footage of the U.S. military killing innocents, including like those Reuters reporters and stuff. And they're laughing and having a good time while they're gunning him down with like a gunship.
Yeah.
Israel releases that stuff themselves on purpose to say, check out what we did, you guys. It's like there's levels to this game. Like the U.S. government is evil because it's just a corrupt imperial set. And it's just, you know, different competing bureaucracies all grasping at power and money. But like the Zionists in Israel, like they're just straight up cartoon bad guys. Like, you know how sometimes you say, like, you know, this group and there's this group and they're villainizing each other. And you're like, guys, it's so stupid to do that. You know, real life is not like a cartoon or like Star Wars. Like, oh, you guys are like the emperor. Y'all are just evil to be evil. And it takes us enlightened folk like you and me to say, now, guys, that's not in the real world. People have their own like motivations and incentives. They're not just like cartoon bad guys that go ha 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 and troll their mustache, except for Israel. They actually are like that.
Why are they allowed to do that? Like, why would you think? Because if they're able to just celebrate all this, these monstrosities or whatever, then you would think America, oh wow, that's what we're helping out? I don't want to be a part of that. But apparently Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. So what do I know?
Yeah. So your question was, why are they allowed to do that? Those are the first words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm stupid.
Well, there's two ways of looking at that. Why are they allowed to do that? There's from the people that are helping them and the people that would oppose them. The people that oppose them don't stop them, partly because they just physically are unable to, and partly because they know that if they were to make a concerted effort to do what needed to be done to use violence to put it to a permanent end, they would suffer the wrath of those other people, the people helping them. The other side of why are they allowed to do that is, well, the people helping them do it are perfectly content to help them do it. I mean, who's they though, right? Like, so We've shared the graphics before of, I mean, look at all the dual national Israelis and American citizens that are in very high levels of the U.S. government. those people aren't just letting them get away with it. They're supporting them in their endeavor. Yeah. So you got it. You keep looking for who's supposed to stop them, because it ain't going to be them. They're supporting them. I mean, it's not a matter of how do these people get away with it? Well, what do you mean how they, the Palestinians can't do anything about it. So who's going to stop them? The only thing I can think of, and I thought about this morning, is that, some people would make the argument that, well, Hamas does what Hamas does because essentially they're just using their own people as collateral to get a rise out of Israel, to get Israel to react negatively so that then the world turns on them. I don't know how much I actually believe that, or to what extent that's actually a thought out, like, policy position. But to some extent, it's worked, right? Because Israel did significantly react negatively. And now you have, it's becoming a lot safer position in the Western world to be openly critical of Israel. Not if you work for the Daily Wire, mind you. But in general, for those of us who don't work for the Daily Wire, it's becoming a much more popularly accepted position to say, yeah, no, I don't support Israel. It's trash what they're doing, and they're killing a bunch of innocent people. So, I mean, you can at least say that maybe the Overton window has shifted some in that direction, but that doesn't actually stop the killing. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of a cynic when it comes to that sort of thing. Like, I guess on net, it's good that more people are willing to discuss out loud what's going on over there and paint Israel in a negative light. But that doesn't actually help anyone over there today. Obviously, there's not a ceasefire. I don't think they ever seriously came close to agreeing to a long-term ceasefire. And again, Hamas'
fault.
Part of it is too, is that we live in the, we live in the era of Twitter and TikTok, right? So, if stuff like this that happens 30 years ago, we only know what Tom Brokaw says about what's going on between Israel and Palestine.
Right.
But now we can literally sit here and watch all the footage and see all the blown apart kids that they're dragging out of the rubble. And that certainly changes people's perspective. I mean, that's what they've always said about Vietnam, right? When all the really gruesome war footage was coming out for Vietnam, that's what started to really turn public perception against the war. And eventually the United States did withdraw. But that's us. And that's a different time. And that's a different scenario. And that's our people turning their attention to our war. That has nothing. Israel doesn't give a jack shit what you or I or anyone else in the world thinks. They're going to do what they're going to do. The only even slither of hope is to say that, well, but if major powers in the West, particularly the United States, were to say, okay, you need to stop what you're doing, or we will not give you any more money. We will not sell you any more arms. And, if some coalition comes together to resist you, we're just going to say good luck to you. Then they would stop. But there's no hope for that. I mean, as much as I would love to hear Joe Biden say those words and for Israel to pull back, he's not going to. There's too much vested special interest. He's not going to do it. And if Trump gets elected, he wouldn't do it either. I mean, that's the other thing. Look, we got our own problems, right? We don't have anyone to vote for who has a differing opinion on the subject. Even if you voted third party or independent, you went for RFK. He's a Zionist too. Yeah, they own them all, man. Who are you supporting? Yeah. So there's not really any political will to make any change on our end. And they certainly don't have any political will to change it. They're gleefully sharing the video saying, check it out, we're setting a new high score.
And you can say about, because you mentioned Twitter and TikTok and how that's kind of where a lot of the young people especially get their news, is Twitter and TikTok. And that's why a lot of the politicians are trying to ban TikTok, as we mentioned in the previous episode about this TikTok ban. And probably one of the main reasons is because, well, they're seeing all this quote-unquote anti-Israel rhetoric or propaganda, whatever you want to call it. And, well, we can't have that. We got to have we got to keep pushing this U.S. propaganda. And that's one of the main reasons why they're going to try and ban this social media platform. And so circling back to the Candace Owens and Daily Wire split, there were some people who were saying that, and I think you mentioned this or at least kind of alluded to it, where this was kind of something that this shouldn't come as a surprise that she got canned or the relationship is over now because of this whole, you know, she's had people on who were critical of Israel. Her herself was being critical. But then also people are saying, well, Candace Owens is going where the wind is blowing. Oh, shit. More people are going, oh, okay, I'll go over here. Because before she was like this, and now she's like, because she's kind of like wishy-washy. Maybe she's a huge grifter. I mean, I don't know what her mind's at. I have no idea.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that she was gunning to get them to let her go. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that I know what the contract situation was between her and the organization, but I feel it's pretty strongly that when it reached the point where they had irreconcilable differences and it wasn't going to be a healthy work environment anymore, she just went guns blazing on the topic, knowing that that would push them to sever,
to like get her out. In the contract.
And so that, because I mean, even she herself, the way she said it, because the news dropped before she said anything, it was already out there. And then she said, yes, the rumors are true, I'm free. So when she put it in that context, that would seem to suggest that she wanted out, but she was trying to get them to do it.
Because I'm guessing her contract, like she didn't want to like get out of the contract, because that's a whole other can of worms of getting out of her contract, but you know, too early or whatever it was.
Look at the situation with like Fox News and Tucker Carlson. So Fox News decided to move on from Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, remember he was far and away number one. He was far and away number one, and not at Fox and in the time slot and for any network, for all of cable news by an enormous margin. So, I mean, that's, you know, like, I mean, it's hard to come up with an analogy for that. I mean, that's it. That would be like the Lions cutting Barry Sanders as opposed to Barry Sanders deciding to retire. Right. Them just saying, you know, we've had enough of you. Who does that? So, but, and of course, obviously he's gone on to, you know, do numbers, you know, independently that make all of cable television look like an absolute joke, despite all of their advantages. And
that's what Candace Owens should do. She should just post her stuff on X.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she'll do something like that. I mean, you and me are on X right now, but there's a difference between her posting on X and Elon Musk coming along and saying, hey, I want to work out a deal with you where you like exclusively stuff on this platform. And I give you money. So like a lot of people talked this past week about the whole thing between Elon Musk and Don Lemon. And I know a lot of people have already made this point, is that obviously that didn't work out. I'm really surprised that they ever even discussed it in the first place, because Don Lemon's fucking trash. Like he's exactly what the mindless progressive audience would want. And they still couldn't make it work with him. So they got rid of him.
Yeah, he had all these demands, whatever. Like, didn't he want like a Tesla truck or whatever?
That's all noise. Don't even worry about that. The point is that Elon Musk, before he let him go, he was willing to let him stay. That's the story that people totally lost in that whole thing, is that the only way that Elon Musk could walk out on whatever proposed deal that they may had discussed and not be willing to platform him on X is that they had discussions to do it in the first place. Why would he have even broached Don Lemon in the first place? So the reason I'm bringing that up is, so first of all, that's poor form on Elon Musk's part, not the way he treated him. He should treat him like a piece of shit. He should have never talked to him to begin with. He's the enemy. He's a member of the enemy class. Don't do any of this old Fox fair and balanced bullshit. There is no fair and balanced. Destroy your enemies and only platform your friends. That's the only way forward. And so if he was looking for someone like that to be like the next person on the platform so that it's not just the Tucker Carlson show featuring Twitter, then he should go talk to Candace Owens. I mean, Candace Owens is not exactly like Tucker Carlson. I think they're politically, obviously they're politically a lot closer than like them and Don Lemon.
Right.
But she's not exactly like him, and she would at the bare minimum have a different kind of show for a somewhat different kind of audience. Like I don't see Candace Owens having Ron Paul on her show, but Ron Paul was on Tucker Carlson. And he's a bit older, and obviously he's a white man. So, I mean, there's differences, but that being neither here nor there, I think that would be good. I think that would be good for her. And I think that would be good for Twitter, and all the more reason, you know, what I would love to see nothing more is for her to work out a deal with X, have some success, there be like mutual appreciation, right? Like she's having success. She's appreciative of the platform. They're happy to have her because she's doing numbers. And then for the Daily Wire to get all butthurt about it. And then for X to like, you know, suspend the Daily Wire. How fucking funny would that be? It's their platform. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it.
Oh, it's a private company.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm pretty sure that wouldn't happen is just because Elon Musk, unfortunately, is also totally owned by the Zionists. That's another one of those all shucks things that no one wants to talk about is, look, I'm on net. Has Elon Musk been good? Of course he has. Has him buying Twitter and turning it into X been better than the old guard? Of course it is. But is he beholden to the Israel lobby? Yes. Because God damn it, there's nowhere to go. They own everyone and everything.
Maybe I should start, you know, talking some good stuff about them. Maybe they'll start sending me some checks. What do you think? Start grifting out the Israel lobby. I'm going to start doing it. Israel, you're doing a good job over there. Keep it up.
I actually thought about posting that on Twitter earlier today, and I didn't, mostly because I was just busy and didn't have time to do this number on my phone.
Too serious.
I was going to say,
what happened to you?
Yeah, I will scrub all of my accounts clean and remake my whole show if the Daily Wire wants to offer me a contract.
New profile pictures of the Israel flag.
I want to be the next Candace Owens. And what I mean by that is get hired by the Daily Wire, get paid like 50 times more than I've ever made to do my show currently until I make them mad enough to fire me. But I win. I win in that exchange. Are you kidding me?
Would you be in blackface too?
I guess they do
wear a wig. One.
They need another wig. They got to have another token now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess you'd be the token. Well, no, that's not true because Daily Wire is located in Nashville, I believe.
They did move their corporate offices there from wherever. I don't even remember where they were before, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you did mention that you need to work with your friends. You can't have some, like you were saying, how Elon Musk was working with Don Lemon, and that didn't work out too well. Another one that some people got a little mad about was Patrick Bet David bringing on Chris Cuomo onto his valuetainment thing or whatever he's got going on over there. And people are saying Chris Cuomo sucks. He was like, you know, super into the vaccine and all that. But then I saw a clip where he's saying he's actually mentioning us. It's like maybe this is the true sentiment where we want to see, and he's getting the Pfizer money. Oh man, I gotta start hyping up the vaccine. Oh, the vaccine's great. Why are you taking this horse to warmer? What's wrong with you? Joe Rogan's an idiot. And now that he's by himself, independent or whatever, he's saying maybe the vaccine isn't that good. People still get COVID when you get the vaccine. I don't know. Maybe it's not as effective as we thought it was going to be. I don't know. And
yeah, but
Patrick David is saying, well, you know, you got to have people who aren't always 100% on your side and you agree on everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
All when I think of someone like Fredo, the only thing that ever comes to mind is kind of the adage of, you know, you've got the gang of robbers and they've been captured. So they're all going to be hanged. And the one robber says, but not me. I didn't steal anything. I didn't shoot anybody. I was just the lookout. And so what you do is you say, well, hang him last, make him watch. Cause he's the lookout. So that's the way you handle people like Chris Cuomo is if anything, I have less respect for him. At least the real genuine articles, like the truly sincere believers of that horse shit. And sincerity is a heavily overrated virtue, but that being neither here nor there, the truly sincere, dye-in-the-wool progressive types, they should all be lined up against a wall. They believe abhorrent things. And, you know, what's that phrase that people like to bandy around? Is like those people want you raped and dead and want to mutilate your children, and they laugh about it. That's what those people are. But you know what? That's what they are. And they'll die on that hill. People like Chris Cuomo are just trying to pick the winner, and they'll side with the left side every single time if given the choice. He's just the guy. He's the Quisling, as David Letterman said to Norm Macdonald. He's a Quisling. He's the one who's just going along with it because that's what all of his left-wing buddies in his field of expertise, his profession, journalism, and him being in New York and his brother being in government and all that. So he, you know, he's surrounded by leftists, so he's going along with the leftists. And it's like, okay, well, now I have to fend for myself if I want to have any type of a career from this point forward, because I'm out, you know, I'm not in the game anymore. So I got to fend for myself. So I'm going to start trying to, you know, cast a wider net. No. If CNN called tomorrow and said, Chris, we got to have you back, we're going to do this huge expose, we need you on point, you know what he would say? He would say, yes, sir. I got my ticket today. I'll be in New York tomorrow. See you then. Thanks. So no. Line up right next to, on the wall, right next to the rest of them. Are you kidding me?
Even if he was getting bigger numbers, if he was putting his show on the Valuetainment YouTube channel and on Twitter, if he was getting way bigger numbers on that, you're probably right. He probably would be like, oh, CNN's calling me that? Hell yeah. Back on the corporate press. Let's go. Let's do this. That's where I need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he would. I mean, but still, just to kind of put a pin in that whole Don Lemon, Elon Musk thing. It's, of course, you know, Musk did the interview with him, right? Like, he actually met with him in person and did their little interview. And of course, Don Lemon was just oppressively retarded and bad. And Elon Musk almost certainly canceled whatever agreement they may have had because he was so off put. He was so off put by everything about Don Lemon being both stupid and malicious, just the worst combination.
What was he expecting?
Exactly. What did he expect? There's no good faith discussions to be had. We are in a post-persuasion world.
Yeah.
There is no good faith arguments or discussions being had by anyone. It's balkanization time. Find your camp, get in it, totally discard the rest.
Yeah.
Take whatever you can get, give nothing in return. That's it. That's where we are. Like, look, I mean, look at what kind of people these people are. Like again, just looking at Don Lemon. Look at Don Lemon's past. Or look at Chris Cuomo. You had already brought up all the stuff with, like, the jab and the ivermectin horse paste stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
But you can pick any progressive topic. So these people want to murder any number of millions of babies they got to murder as long as they can signal to their side that degeneracy is on the ballot. You know, these people are okay with mutilating kids. You know, they want to wear your religion as a skin suit, all the little buzz terms that are out there. These people and the corporate journalist types in particular, like, you just don't get to where those people were in corporate journalism without pretty much being the lowest of the low scum of the earth. So I don't care what they said on their new podcast since they got fired 6 weeks ago. I don't give a shit about that. Their brain should already be covering a sidewalk somewhere.
So you don't think, like, say someone like a Chris Cuomo, I'm not saying it's him exactly, but someone who was in that mold, but then they did, like, authentically realize, oh, wow, I was actually being completely duped, and this whole thing was just a ruse to, you know, sell something that, even though I didn't believe in, I was getting paid and all this crap that Chris Cuomo was basically doing us, apparently. Mm-hmm. But then they actually did have a legit change of heart. Like, okay, I don't want to be a part of that anymore because I've been through it. I realized that I was part of that system. And then I realized, oh wow, this whole thing's a piece of shit. And now that they are independent and they're kind of saying things like, yeah, I was wrong. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need Chris Cuomo. I don't know if he's done this or not. So correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who's listening or watching, but if Chris Cuomo or anyone who's done that and it goes, I was wrong. I was completely wrong. And I'm going to try my best to not just, oh, the government is saying that we have a vaccine that's now ready to go after 9 months of preparation, and it just rushed through things. Because apparently with the FDA, it could take up to 10 years, even longer, for something, for a drug to be passed and for it to go out to market. But for this Operation Warp Speed or anything that Joe Biden was doing in his administration, oh, they can just put it on through. All right, cool, cool. I'm all in. But then I realized that was all a bunch of horse manure. So is there anyone, I'm not saying you should name someone, but I mean, is there anyone that can actually be like that, that you would say, okay, I do legit believe where you're like, you do actually have a change of heart. Is that even a possibility now?
How compelling. Please face the wall now. That's what I was saying the whole time you were talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's between them and God. There's no forgiveness here. Are you kidding me? No. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I was being naive. Yeah,
exactly. Same hypothetical. So let's say you're a doctor that works at, you know, a Planned Parenthood clinic, and you're performing abortions day and night, and you're performing abortions for exactly the kind of like purple hair land whales on Twitter that say things like, "Yeah, I've had 15 abortions," and they're freaking having parties and celebrating,
wearing a t-shirt. Yeah,
yeah, they're wearing t-shirts about it and stuff. Like. Okay, if that person has a genuine, honest, you know, God come to Jesus moment where they realize, like, look, you know, maybe I was never exactly happy with the arrangement. I believed the bullshit leftist line from 30 years ago of safe, legal, and rare. I realize now that was only ever to get their foot in the door, and it became this bloated degeneracy that it's become. I can see now that it has had the effect that it's had on society. I can see now the effect of women, of families, of minority communities, in particular blacks. But, and of course, obviously above all of that, I do genuinely see this as taking life, and therefore I do believe these to be murders.
Yeah.
Like, okay. That's all stuff you're going to need to have written down when you talk to God. But we're done.
Yeah.
No. That's the kind of deathbed confessionals you get before they put the needle in your fucking arm. I don't care. Yeah.
So no. like in a commune, or like you saying, go in your own tribe or group or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not want someone like that to go, okay, so this person's been through that. They know what it's like to be a part of that. Maybe having that information, having someone who can kind of guide them. Like, yeah, so these are what these people are thinking, because I've directly dealt with these people. Would that not even cross your mind? I don't give a shit if you've.
No, there's absolutely no value to that. This isn't like espionage of foreign agents around the globe. We're not trying to steal the Death Star plans here. We know how these people think.
Yeah.
They don't hide the way they think. It's the same thing as Israel releasing their own footage of their own atrocities. We don't have to search high and low to figure out how what.
Yeah, like did any Israeli who saw that footage, they go, oh shit. I was blind. Oh man. Now, I mean, you know what? I'm going to start protesting that Israel should stop doing this. America should stop funding them and not whatever.
Well, it's just because, I mean, we're crossing streams there. That's going backwards to the Jew talk again. We're moving on to the dead babies talk. All right.
Okay. Okay.
But no, to your point, is no, there's no value in that. And and those people, we wouldn't be sitting here in our camp having that discussion with that refugee. We would have already blown their brains out the morning they came across the border. They're baby killers.
Hmm.
Like,
yeah.
call it what it is. So no, absolutely no sympathy. It's see, this is the beautiful thing about, so like me, for instance, I saw, you know, Tyler was here earlier commenting,
yeah,
and Tyler, I saw that he had posted on Twitter the other day, cause he was talking about the illegal immigrants and how to handle them. And is it right to kill them or whatever? And I had said that, you know, I'm not a theist, but I do believe in natural rights. Now, I'm not going to go into my whole long spiel of what I said after that, but just those first two lines were, I'm not a theist, but I do believe in natural rights. So a lot of people who do believe in natural rights say that they come from your creator. I don't typically use that language because I don't really believe in that sort of thing. But I do completely believe in natural rights, and I do completely believe that abortion is murder. And yeah, it's so weird to me how for decades it became kind of unpalatable for people, even like for conservatives, for right-wing people to call a spade a spade. I remember I've had this conversation on the old show and privately with people many, many times where I had said, I'm genuinely surprised that there's not more incidents of extremist violence. I am. And I'm not talking about like 9/11, you know, people from some other country hatching a plan to attack America. I mean, yeah. I mean extremist violence. Like, I'm surprised there's not more bombings at Planned Parenthood buildings. I'm surprised there's not more people murdering doctors at abortion clinics. I'm surprised there's not more politicians getting attacked. I'm really surprised about that one, but I'm surprised that just those last two in particular, I'm really surprised you don't see people attacking. Like, if you're going to have a random crazed mass gunman, why aren't they going into abortion clinics and blowing everyone away? Now, I know the short answer is because they're usually left-wing crazies and they're actually pro abortion. So right, they wouldn't be in there blowing them all away. But if right-wingers actually believed that they were in that clinic right now killing babies, you believe that? You believe they're in that room right now killing babies? That is your genuine belief. Why aren't there more taking drastic action? And I don't mean drastic action like calling their fucking congressman.
Yeah.
And I'm not advocating, you know, for the algorithms. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just simply asking the question. Like, we know the lizard people control Washington, D.C. Why aren't there more, like, what's that? What was that lady's name? Gabby Giffords or whatever?
Oh, like, yeah.
Why aren't
yeah
there more separating some skull fragments from their heads? The easy answer is it's because most people value their own lives and they know that it were they to act in that way.
Yeah, it's pretty much
successful over or failure, their yeah life would be yeah over. I get that. But I'm still surprised that there's not more incidents of, like I said, I'm to just make it very broad, I'll say I'm surprised there's not more incidents of extremist violence.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff going on in this world that is abhorrent and terrible. And there's no political solution. I mean, that's the big thing, right? And that was kind of what I was talking to Tyler about, is that it's a non-starter for us to, you and I, to sit here and talk about, like, well, you know, in order to change this one thing, we really need to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, yeah, but if that was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Like, mm-hmm, like take the immigration thing, for instance. It's been a popular boomer con thing to say that, well, the reason why we can't have immigration is because of the welfare state. So as long as they're going to get welfare and food stamps and free health care and free education, well, that's why we can't have a bunch of immigration, because we can't afford it. It's like, okay, but you're really just debating chicken and egg, right? Which one's the chicken and which one's the egg? The entitlements or the immigration? Because again, if the answer was get rid of all those incentives and then we wouldn't have a bunch of illegal immigration. And by the way, I'm not necessarily agreeing with you in principle. That's just econ 101, right? You get rid of incentives and it would change the behavior. But we can't get rid of the incentives. The state has only grown every year, every day since that argument was ever cooked up. Welfare has only expanded. the war on poverty has only expanded. Food stamps, healthcare. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here talking about what rights illegal immigrants do and don't have. The fact of the matter is beyond any individual right you want to discuss. Yes, they are able to get all manner of entitlements, and their lot in life could be better or worse in different states. But in general, and of course, you have the feds, you have this very administration that is willing to go to court and fight against states such as Texas, who try to take matters into their own hands. Mm-hmm. So if that was going to happen, if we were going to be able to remove the entitlements in order to try to change the immigration picture, it would have happened by now. And by the way, fuck the Republicans. I don't want to have any right-wingers watch this video and say, oh, I like the cut of this guy's jib. It's them damn libtards. No. How many years have Republicans had majorities in the House and Senate and presidency, or all three, since, let's say, 1967? And they didn't do a goddamn thing about any of the stuff I just mentioned. No, they never did it. They never intended to, and the political will wasn't there to get it done. And the people didn't. And the public at large didn't have the political will to make that change either. So no, I don't want to hear it. It's the same concept of, like, if you have homeless people, why do you? And you see, like, homeless people on the street corner, like, begging for money, and you're like, ugh, I don't want to see these hobos standing on the street corner holding up their signs. You know how you get rid of them? You don't give them money. If no one gave the hobo on the street corner money, ever, I mean zero, then they would quit showing up to the street corner every day to beg, because it just wouldn't be lucrative for them to do it. And that's something for you to always keep in the back of your head. If you see the same, like, random hobos on the same street corners every single week, it's because they're getting paid. Because if they weren't making any money, they wouldn't go back. At a bare minimum, they'd try somewhere else. At a maximum, they'd try something else. That means they're getting paid. It's the same thing. But we can't stop people from doing it. I can't stop people from giving them money. And so now we've got more people holding up cardboard signs on the street. In the same way of, I can't stop the government from offering a bunch of entitlements to illegals. So maybe instead of me trying to stop 17 different entitlement programs, it'll be easier for me to just try to stop immigration. So it's kind of like, let's turn off the spigot first, and then we'll figure out that other stuff. And then we can talk about whether or not we want to turn the spigot back on.
But it's like they're arguing on what they need to do first. Either you stop the entitlements, and then hopefully that changes things, we can go from there, or just don't bring them here.
Milton Friedman talked about this. You know, Milton Friedman used to talk about all the time. It's like, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, or in the early 1900s, you know, we had largely just completely open free immigration, and millions came to this country. You show up at Ellis Island, you get booked in, boom, you're an immigrant. But that was it. They weren't entitled to much of anything else beyond that. And it was, but they had to provide for themselves, but they were still doing it because they were voting with their feet. Them showing up to this country with nothing in their pockets still gave them a better chance at having a better life than whatever shithole European place they left provided them, or Asia or whatever. And so that's all well and good. And you say, well, but we can't have that today. So that's the thing, is that if you were to ask most people, was it a good thing that we had that immigration in 1904 that led to the industrialization boom that we enjoyed? Most people would say, well, yes, that was a good thing. But if you were to ask those same people, should we have that now? People would say, of course, no, we should definitely not have that now. And sure, they might give you some boogeymen of, I don't want a Haitian guy to barbecue my leg and eat me. But those individual specifics being neither here nor there, most people would say, no, I don't want that situation today like it was in 1904. And the reason is because it's a completely different time. These are completely different immigrants that we're talking about, coming from completely different places with completely different type of cultural considerations. And the country they're coming to is completely different, i.e. the entitlement system, the bloated federal bureaucracies, the war on poverty, everything else. But again, we clearly can't stop that. What's that phrase? Borrowing for Friedman again. There's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program.
Yeah.
So we can't, obviously we don't have the ability politically to stop any of that. So just purely as a matter of expediency, maybe it's just easier to stop immigration. Now, there's plenty of people that would say, well, I want to stop immigration, period. I don't care if we have welfare or not. I want to preserve American culture and tradition. And that's an argument to be had, and that's fine. But I think just purely from political expediency, we need to stop immigration first. Like I said, turn the tap off, and then fix what ails us on the inside. And then maybe we can have a conversation about where we want to go from there.
And apparently illegal immigrants, they can come in and they can start voting. So if people think that voting is an act of violence, I guess they're committing an act of violence.
The big thing is the census, right? So that was the most recent ruling, is they're going to count illegals in the census. Well, if 10 million illegals show up to California, then California is going to have more representatives. They're going to have a bigger share of the representative pie because they have a larger population. But that's not 10 million more citizens. That's 10 million more just residents. The argument is that, well, we should make it where the census only counts citizens, and only citizens are determining the representative pie. And that failed. That unfortunately did not win the day. So as of right now, the census will still, in the next big census coming up, is still going to count all people, not just citizens. So yes, that's a representation problem. That is a serious issue that is springing from just unbridled illegal immigration. So yes, that's a serious issue to contend with. Absolutely. No doubt at all. So again, when you're confronted with those types of problems, and you know, like this is a serious demographic shift, cultural shift, financial shift, economic shift, and like I said, political representation shift, then maybe the smarter thing for all of us is to be big champions of closing the borders down tight, locking down immigration, just to buy us some time to wrestle with all of these other problems. We're going to wrestle with 1% of these problems while the border is open.
Yeah, where are they going to bring? Like, where are they going to put those people? Where are they bringing them to? Are they just like, if they cross over through El Paso, Texas, are they just going to stay in El Paso, or are they going to like bus them over to California or to some other red states that they need to change the voting?
This is the beautiful thing. Like, this is the thing for people who, if you're somebody who genuinely like, look, I hate politics, but some of us just keep up with it. Just, you know, whatever, just for blood pressure medication. It's just fun.
Yeah,
exactly. You're just laughing while the Titanic is sinking, you know?
Right. Yeah. What good are we? We're not even doing anything.
Do you remember in the last few years, 2, 3, 4 years, when all the right wingers were like, yeah, take that, you libtards, whenever Greg Abbott or Ron DeSantis or whoever would load up a bunch of buses and ship immigrants to like blue cities around the country? Like, remember when they were sending them to Martha's Vineyard or sending them to New York or sending them to the sanctuaries? Remember, some of these blue states and cities labeled them, passed legislation to become sanctuary cities, which meant that they weren't going to work with the Fed for immigration purposes, essentially saying that, look, if an immigrant comes here, we're going to essentially shield them from federal naturalization officers. Look, that's their right to do. If the blue cities want to go that much further into the shitter, that's their right to do. However, all these right wingers were cheering that on, and now it's going to bite them in the ass because they were able to get it passed where the census is going to count all population, not just citizens. So now all of those illegal immigrants that were flooding in, even the ones that you were actually helping to get to the blue states, is now potentially going to give them more representatives in Congress. It's just, they're playing the game, man. And the left wing just, look, I hate progressives. I hate them all. I hate the pedo freaking society crushing people on the left, but they're just better at the game than the right wingers are.
Yeah, because they don't give a shit. Like you were talking about, they just don't care. Like I was trying to say, oh, you know, what about these bringing these people? Like the type of mentality and the attitude you were having about people who have a change of heart, where you just line them against the wall or just kick them out, excommunicate them, whatever. Like that's mm-hmm. their mindset. That's their attitude towards people who don't believe in the things they believe in. They're just like, no, screw you, get out of here. We're gonna make your lives as hellish as we can possibly make it. And the right wingers and conservatives and libertarians who are like, I want to be nice. I don't want to violate the non-aggression principle. I don't want to do this and that, you know? But mm-hmm. then the progressives and the liberals and all these other people, they're like, fuck your nap. We don't give a flying ass what your fucking nap is. We're going to fucking destroy you. So maybe the people who are on the opposite end of that, maybe they should also play that game and go, you know what? Fuck you too. We're going to try and do everything we can to make your lives miserable. And then everything's just going to mm-hmm. be chaotic and we're all going to die. How about that?
Well, I mean, national divorce is the only answer.
I don't want to die, I mean, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you don't. I was a little bit worried there for a second.
I still have a little life left, I think.
Yeah. I didn't realize it had gotten that dark for you, but yeah. Listen, if you need to talk, you know.
Hey, once you have a family, you're like, fucking, man. I'm not going to just sit back. I am sitting back because, I don't know, maybe I should start voting. This fucking libertarian mindset of, man, voting is bad. Voting is very evil and very violent. Well, you know what? If me putting a little check mark or a little, you know, filling up a little square or a circle is violence, well, then fuck it. Maybe I should start registering to vote. Maybe that's, yeah. Should I start registering to vote? Go fuck yourself.
Okay. But see, hold on a second. See, this is the thing where you can't paint with broad brushes. So all the post-libertarians who call the libertarians stupid, first of all, y'all are all autistic. Jesus Christ. But that being neither here nor there, if your definition of I'm going to start voting is start voting for president, yes, you're wasting your time and you're a fucking idiot. The libertarians
I mean, like, fuck, you know, if I'm going to vote for someone in a school board or my fucking mayor.
The only votes you can cast that make any sense at all are the ones for the people that live in your town.
Right.
If you know where they live and you can go look at them in the face and say, let's talk about this thing. Oh, you're going to have a vote that's going to affect an ordinance in my town. Those people, absolutely, you should be voting.
Yeah,
and you should be voting, and you should be not and not just showing up to the polls either, by the way, because that's how they get you. It's the same. They get you there the same way they get you in the presidential election. If all you're going to do is show up to the polls,
how do you know that the local election wasn't stolen?
Well, first of all, they steal them all the time. But the way that you avoid that is you have to get good candidates. You can't, there's no such thing as getting a good candidate for president. It can't be done. Oh. If there was one, they would blow their brains out. And voting in the general is meaningless. The only candidates that make it to the general are terrible. If you didn't at least show up in the primary, then you have no right to even complain. So it's all moot anyway. But the point I'm making is that if you're going to vote for president, you might as well show up to the primaries to try to pick a candidate for president that's at least better. If you're going to do that, then it would be better to be more politically active and try to support, get candidates to run who would be good and do better in the primaries. But you go all again, forget all that. Go all the way down to the local level. At the local level, you're way more likely to like win an election with like 3,000 votes for, you know, Constable Bumblefuck needs 500 votes and he wins, right?
Or your local sheriff,
So in that election, either you could run, or if you knew somebody who was maybe more professionally or financially in a position that they could run and be effective, and you thought they basically would be a proxy for me. They would do the kind of job I would do. Then you need to get them to run, and you need to support them. Okay, take Tennessee, for example, like county mayors in most places were the ones who decided whether or not you had to mask up and stay safe during COVID, because the health departments fell under the counties. So it was county mayors. The county mayor here, was Andy Ogles, who actually went on to, he's in Congress now and apparently he's a Zionist. So oops. out that fucking door. But when he was a county mayor, it didn't matter if he was a Zionist, because what the fuck is a county mayor gonna do for Israel, right?
Yeah, right.
So the famous example,
give him $10.
the famous example is Glenn Jacobs, you know, Kane, right. WWE's Kane. Glenn Jacobs out in Knox County. So he was never the mayor of Knoxville. He's the mayor of Knox County.
Damn.
But he's now he has won re-election since then. He's in his second term right now. But he won his first term by something like 160 votes in, by Tennessee standards, a fairly populated county. So that was a really close election that if you were like, look, you know, don't worry about the celebrity wrestler angle to it. This guy is more in line with me politically. And his opponent was a typical, like, left-wing shithead, and he won by that much. Yeah, absolutely. That election mattered, and your vote, your support would have mattered. Absolutely. Right. So no. So the kind of person who says that voting is violence, it blocked, by ignored. doesn't matter. Those people don't matter. What are these niggas talking about? I Google 38th parallel and end up here. Why are you Googling the 38th parallel, my man? What the hell are you researching?
I'm surprised you didn't. Yeah, exactly. You know, and then this guy was like, oh, yeah, this guy on the right is based. So congratulations, Alan, you're based according to
Thank
Bob
you,
the Builder.
Minecraft PFP.
Well, there was a comment up here that I thought was maybe needed some. It's like a little long thing here. So the House Republicans are going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Mm-hmm. Two Republicans left. MGT is batshit, and Republicans say SS needs to be cut in an election year.
I'm assuming he means MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, but
yeah. Everyone knows Social Security needs to be fixed. The Congressional Budget Office has been saying it for years, but the Republicans don't need to say the choir part out in an election year. Why not?
Yeah, well, the only way to fix Social Security is to fucking delete it. But you're right. So there is no political will to do that. It's political suicide to even suggest it. And if the Republicans are going to run on a platform of Social Security reform now of all times, with razor thin margins at the ballot box, no, that's a non-starter. They lose.
And then, well, it's easy to hide behind the veil of virtues and welfare. They're playing politics on easy mode when the Republicans unfortunately have to play the other side of that veil.
So the biggest problem with Republicans is, as I say, I've said a lot of times, is like with Republicans like these, who needs Democrats? So
yeah,
Republicans need to be true traditional conservatives. Like I think we talked about this last week with education. It was a pillar of the Republican platform for decades to get rid of the Department of Education. It should have never been opened in the first place. As soon as they opened the federal Department of Education, it should have been just burnt down and salted the earth right then and there. But nowadays, the teachers unions not only are getting all the Democrats elected with tons of money, but they also donate a fair amount of money to Republican candidates too, both at the state and the federal level. So that, I mean, they're playing both sides, so they always come out on top. So when the Republicans don't need to be Democrat light, what's that phrase that Michael Malice always says, is that conservatives are just progressives driving the speed limit?
Right.
That doesn't work. They need to actually be conservatives. And I don't mean conservatives a la the 21st century. I mean like Barry Goldwater conservatives. If there actually was a true conservative caucus in the Republican Party that, you know, was, say, a third or more of elected representatives that filed as Republicans, it would at least be a different conversation. But they're not. They're all big spenders. I mean, look at Trump, for instance. Trump said all that bullshit about how, you know, the omnibus bills are bad. You know, they pull up these 9,000 page bills at the crack of dawn and everybody votes on them. Nobody read them. Nobody knows what's in them. They pass them and it's trillions of dollars spent. And you find out all this grift and waste. But he signed every one of them, didn't he? He signed
a gun to his
every
head.
One of them. Oh, yeah, it's because he just didn't know, and it was the swamp and all that bullshit. No, No. Even right now, even this very minute, Speaker Johnson, who also is a Zionist, I know you're super surprised to hear that.
Right, right.
Right now, he's willing to cut a deal, whatever he's got to cut, with Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, to get another $1 trillion budget passed that's going to have, you know, whatever. They've got all sorts of it's always funny, some of the programs that'll be in there, like money for gay old folks' homes and and I mean, it's just crazy shit. I'm not making that one up, by the way. That's one of the things that's like out there right now. And they're out there cutting deals. So he'll cut a deal and then he'll go to the party and say, this is what we've got. Vote yes on it because I said so. And it's like, what are you talking about? I thought we were the conservative party. I thought we didn't vote on 9,000 page omnibus spending bills for trillions of dollars. Of course they will. They do it every time.
So comment here. And also I wanted to give a shout to Adam Nash, who had that long comment thread that I had stated. So this one's from Mohammed Egal, who was talking about, he Googled the 38th parallel and apparently came to us. So thanks, Mohammed, for watching. So he commented, in 1933, Jewish Day was celebrated at the Chicago World's Fair. The highlight was a spectacular pageant called The Romance of the People, produced by Meyer Weisgal of the Zionist Organization of America. So there you go. Thanks for that little nugget of history. Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. You know, they had one of the World's Fairs in Knoxville. That's where we got the, you know, the Sun Sphere.
Really?
Yeah. They had a World's Fair in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Was there a lot of country music playing?
I mean, if you mean like today's country, no.
Oh. It was rap or something, right?
There would not. Yeah, country hip hop. No, that wasn't.
Some of that Florida Georgia line, right?
Jesus. How did we get on this? What are we talking about?
We were talking about how you're based.
It's funny that your new friend brought that up, because I saw a meme earlier today that it was the text at the top was my answer whenever anyone ever asks a question about why anything ever happens, and it was just zooming in on the J key on a keyboard.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what can you do?
I mean, you know, they control everything. They control the weather. They control Hollywood.
Now, the weather's the only thing they don't control. So I have that on good authority from my friend Rob.
You know, that one time when Marlon Brando couldn't work, and then he had to get, he apologized and he got permission back. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, I hope we covered the border crisis for you. Anyway, there you go. There's my hot take on the border crisis is we got to shut. We got to stop immigration in order to even have a chance to fix all the other problems associated with illegal immigration. But we got to turn off the spigot first, then address the problems, and then come back. You can't even begin to address the problems while the border's wide open. It's ridiculous. And these libertarians who want to be, you know, like the
free flowing.
The open border types and, oh, you know, hoorah immigrants. It's like, Jesus Christ, wake the fuck up. It's the same.
They can issue. Have a gun too. They're allowed to have a gun in their pocket. We don't know what their intent is when they cross the border. Mm-hmm. What's the point of a country when I don't even believe in a country?
Yeah, they do. See, they say that, but yeah, they do.
I trust 6 million immigrants more than one cop. 6 million, if 6 million immigrants with a gun freaking fled into and like crossing the, like in our property here, I'm like, holy fuck, I better start saying my prayers and saying hi to Jesus here in a little bit, because I am fucked.
Yeah. Adam Nash, so the major issue there is the fact that a lot of Jews, a lot of American Jews and elsewhere are not Zionists. There are a lot of them, and they don't consider Israel to be the land of their people or Zion or whatever.
That's anti-Semitic.
The problem is that the Zionist Jews, the Israeli Jews, are the ones with the political power. They are the ones who have infested
you're
the
talking US about government. US stereotypes. You're not allowed to say that.
What do you mean stereotypes?
No.
You know how things become stereotypes, don't you?
No.
Because they're true.
No, you're canceled. You're not allowed. Stop it.
I mean, I'm a white man, so I'm just correct. It's not even like what the Louis C.K. thing. Like, you can't even hurt my feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, cracker, ruin my day.
Wait, are you saying the Jews? You're saying the Jewish people, they control what? You can't. You're not allowed to say that.
You know what's really cool about them too, though, is that if it's beneficial for them to be white, they're white. If it's beneficial for them to be Jewish, they're Jewish, and they're not white. You ever notice that?
I mean, they look white. I mean, I don't know any difference. I'm colorblind. I don't see color.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's purely by total accident that you married another hopper.
Yeah, they just became, oh, how dare you. They just became super... they were able to like take
this guy that opens up every show about supporting the Hapa ethnostate is trying to tell me that he's colorblind.
You know I'm fucking around, right?
No, you're not. You're full of shit.
Well, actually, I'm not, because I actually went to the bathroom before this, so I'm not. So you're lying.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
That is true. I did actually look up your Twitter at the start of the show because I called you out only to find out that is Correo. Exactly what you said word for word.
Let's go. Hey, you do the same thing. You go, hey, I tweeted out blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, let me see if Alan actually did that. Let me see. Oh, a poll. Oh, wow. Yeah, he actually did do a poll. Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alan, where can people find your work? If you would even consider it a work, in your show, It's Too Late, which is a great show.
Well, they're
happy to be a part of it.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And if you're a libertarian podcaster, you definitely will never get a job. They can go everywhere: Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, X, YouTube, wherever. Alan Mosley TV, ALAN Mosley TV. It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. New episodes Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Awesome episode just this past week. Nikki Haley was on a couple of weeks ago. Imagine that. It's crazy.
Man, you're getting some good, I don't know how you're getting all these good guests. Do you know who you're going to have on anytime soon, or is that still in the works?
I think that's still in the works. Actually, next week, we're about to have a whole bunch of Liam Neeson is going to be on the show next week, and I already know you know why.
Yeah.
So I think you're... I'm not saying that you have anything to do with it. I'm just saying, how good is your Liam Neeson?
I'm not even gonna attempt to do it on.
Okay,
on
all right. Okay. I gotta figure out something with you, because on the one hand I want you to be a part of these skits, but on the other hand it's just you in every single one of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I try. I'm doing my best. Okay. I'm not. I should go to Juilliard or whatever the acting schools are, so I can work on my impressions, or you know, listen to Frank Caliendo, whatever, you know.
Maybe I should have gotten Nico to be Nikki Haley.
Yeah, maybe. She looks more like her, so there you go.
Oh, be careful. Man, you're going to have to live with that one, not me.
Yeah, that's true. Whoops.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, go check Alan's show. It's great.
Come to the live event.
Buy
tickets to the Saturday, May 18th. It's the 6th annual, if you can imagine. The 6th annual It's Too Late live show.
Hear that, Bob the Builder? Hear that?
Saturday, May 18th in Columbia, Tennessee. Like-minded liberty lovers from all over the country. Not all around the world, of course. We've locked down the borders. But from all over the country.
Yeah.
Coming to Columbia, Tennessee for good food, live entertainment, a taping of the show. There's going to be some surprise guests there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and I've told people, particularly in recent weeks, you know, the best part of our events is politics never even comes up. No, nobody talks about politics. We just hang out and have a good time.
All right. So before we go, I want to say to Adam Nash, he commented, "You're going to have to bring this guy back on because he's the only reason I'm subbing." Well, Adam, you're in luck because this is a weekly thing. So,
yeah, no, I'm ending on that. That's a high note right there.
Oh man, you're like George Costanza. I'm out. Like,
yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, sorry, Adam. I was lying. This is it. Yeah. So
I have to. Have
oh yeah, more Fox branding. And Sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you Fox just get some the coffee. Other day?
I did get some. Yeah.
Oh, what kind did you get?
It was Puerto Rican or no, Costa Rican, one of those Ricans, and the LaFleur. Ah, oh, God, I should have these names, but I can't remember now. I've popped my head.
Dude, I don't even drink coffee. He knows.
you're buying them and you're selling them on off the black market. Hey, look, I got some new coffee. You want to try it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. This is a pretty nice shirt, though. Like, I respect people who sell merch that it's not like those really cheap, like really rough spun, just crappy. You know what I'm talking about? Like crappy mass produced shirts. This is actually a nice, smooth cotton shirt. Yeah.
It's so nice. You've worn it twice now.
Yeah, I only have this shirt to wear on this show.
Oh, that's
I mean, true. I can't wear it on other it's too late. I wear a suit and tie on it's too late.
I've seen some of your other shirts, and it's like, man, you can't wear that.
No.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. And we will see you next week. This is the plan until I decide otherwise because I'm the boss. And I'm the boss, but Alan's he's a real workhorse here. He's the one doing the heavy lifting. So I really appreciate it, Alan. You're a good guy. Thanks.
We only got to shave 9 minutes off the start next time. We're so
close. I know. I'm gonna try and be on my for real on time. I'm not gonna be on black guy time anymore. All right. Thanks.